got to be involved in the radio room greatly tonight because of a master plan to try to tear up our right to freedom.
We stood up and resisted, and I won the battle on the PA system and on the front lines. You ought to tell the story. I mean, on the short wing, you were here. How many were here? I won. I said, anything happens, I got more radios. One of the things I worked out insisted was to have a custom radio, one on the department that still got some agents in it. They weren't going to give it to me. What I want with it? There's a story of, I want to be sure at any time anything comes our way, I can talk to the whole world.
You ought to tell the story.
So nothing can happen in the corner. You see what I'm saying?
I got four radios.
Well, you only need one radio at a time. I said,
well, even when the customs still want
to. So we got four.
Follow what I'm saying?
There's a story of glory.
You are about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
He told me some of the most horrible things she did that you could ever imagine that she did to him and said to him, I want peace for my children. I want them to live. I want them to have a future. They're wanting to die too quickly, some of them. I am the one that's holding back.
Roger.
My name is Harriet Trott. I have a law degree and I'm currently teaching at the Jonestown Community School. I have a statement to make on behalf of People's Temple in response to the grossly false and malicious statements that continue to be made about our community here in Guyana. Do you copy?
Say, and they're a small number compared to all of the relatives who are planning to visit here.
Okay, I have a long statement on that, but I'll put it in there.
Well, come and listen to my story about a man named Jim. Had a scam people's temple and his suckers worshipped him. Took his suckers to Guyana, and when they got off the boat, they all drank poison Kool-Aid and they all fell down to blow.
Well, not exactly. It was really Flavor-Aid. It was more like a neo-socialist schizophrenic Christian Masada reenactment in the jungle, but you know, those who don't remember the past are condemned, that crap, I forget. But at any rate, tonight we're gonna hear it as it happened, straight from the players themselves, through the courtesy of St. Byron Werner, who had the foresight and wisdom to collect these little nuggets of actual Jim Jones ravings way back when. So you're gonna get the chance to belly up to that steamy bamboo bar with that Dixie cup in your hand. Oh, so get ready, seekers, because it's all going to come burbling out of your speakers in a steady spew, and it's going to run long, too. Hey, I couldn't very well parcel it out in two chunks since you already know how the hell it ends. I mean, where's the suspense in that? So you're getting both parts of the story in one big chunk with no funny stuff and a minimum of interruptions by me. Oh, I'll let the sonic artifacts speak for themselves, but be forewarned, the tape quality is at times dicey.
She has now shown her true reactionary colors and gone back to her bigoted families who are openly racistic. Needless to say, this is the reason why I'm staying close to our new home of Guyana these days.
Oh, pshaw, Jim. Don't pull the race card on me. Your followers were cut from cloth of many colors. Oh, and I might have to lay a little groundwork for some of our younger seekers. This was all the way back in the dark polyester ages of the late 1970s. Oh, in the beginning, things seemed pretty cool. Reverend Jim Jones is a highly charismatic preacher and a wily scam artist who set up the People's Temple in San Francisco. Oh, he was a shrewd player of mayors, governors, city councilmen. Oh, everybody was praising Jim's good works for the community. He even had his picture taken shaking hands with First Lady Rosalynn Carter. And oh boy, did that pic get a lot of airtime when it all came down in 78. that one and the shot of her shaking hands with killer clown John Wayne Gacy. Boy, did she get around. Anyhow, relatives of Jim Sucker's congregation, they were getting whipped up over the fact that Daddy Jim was getting all of his flock's worldly goods. Social security checks, homes, booty, lots of booty. Oh, and a former lay got pissy about it. Jim hijacked their unlucky love child and transplanted the whole shooting match to South America. Guyana, to be exact. 24 hours by powerboat from Guyana's primitive capital city, Georgetown. There to establish his shining Christian socialist community, Jonestown. Oh, but it all became a steaming green hell. Jim Jones was Elvis through the looking glass. Paranoia, jungle, fungal brain rot, and a pharmacopoeia of drugs fueled his descent into insanity. Exhorting his machete-wielding flock on loudspeakers, he staged white knights, drills for the final apocalypse against the blood-sucking fascist demons lurking in the darkness of Jim Jones' rotting mind. Oh, and luckily it was all caught on tape, the highs and the lows. Oh, but Seekers, why don't we just trace this trail of punch drops all the way back to the early days, to what would become known as the honeymoon phase for Jim Jones and his People's Temple.
Christianity was never based on the idea of an unknown God.
I'm going to cause you to know that you are what Jesus was.
Jesus said that every human being was a God.
It is written that ye are gods.
I'm a God and you're a God.
And I'm a God and I'm going to stay a God until you recognize that you're God. And when you recognize you're God, I shall go back into principle and will not appear as a personality.
You are God.
But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am. God Almighty God.
Just remember, nothing worse than putting somebody in the corner when they've tried over and over and over to do righteousness and no one receive it. And you get them in a corner, they're extremely dangerous, aren't they? And I think you can sense the hands of these people that we are nonviolent people, but we're extremely dangerous. Because we've been fed up with anarchy and fed up with rebellion and fed up with selfishness. Just remember, you don't have anything on me that I care about, because everything that you have on me, I've let it all hang right out for everybody to see. Now you get worried about yourself. I don't mind losing my life. What about you? I don't mind losing my reputation. What about you? I don't mind being tortured. What about you? I'm just no longer afraid, and I've lost interest in this old world of capitalist sin and racism. I've lost interest in it. So if somebody wants to make me stay in it by compromising with filthy-minded people that cannot even have respect for somebody that would die for even his enemies, and they want to cause anarchy in our midst, I would just as soon bring it all to a glorious screaming end. Just bring it to a screeching stop in a one glorious moment of triumph. So you think about it.
But what are you saying? You don't understand the dire danger of the jungle.
Thank you very much. I love you, but I must be stern in the defense of the lives of our children.
You could not survive in the jungle if you were to get there. The snakes that can make your leg nothing but a mass of open ulceration.
check him in the medical office, and your eyes go blind, and they'll be paralyzed. Snakes that kill within 3 hours or 20 minutes. Crocodiles that devour you in one gulp. Quicksand that swallows you up over your head just beyond East House. You have no business going in the jungle. I thank you. I love you.
You can buy anything in the United States. Yes, you may go to the restroom. They'll take our money to give us information about the FBI. Don't tell me they won't, because I've already got it. If you want to commit treason, you better be sure you know who you're dealing with, because after we were all dead over here, you might go to a social party after you're trying to get your little reward, your little 30 pieces of silver for selling out the greatest people on earth. And you walk in with the Judas tribe, and the wife of Judas might be one of the ladies I'd laid to make a socialist. And she might give you slow poison in your champagne. You don't know how clever I am. One thing you've all done is underestimate me. I made plans for treason long ago because I knew I couldn't trust nothing. I knew I couldn't trust anything but communism and the principle in me. Yes, restroom. I knew that that's what I had to depend upon, not depend upon the arm of the flesh, and never put all your eggs in one basket. So, honey, I put my eggs in many places. And you figure that out if you want to. Some of you are too naive. You don't know what Jim Jones is all about. You can't even follow him. You haven't even smelled where he's at yet, much less followed him. You don't even know who he is, and you might miss him if you didn't have a real good look at him. You wouldn't even know who he looked like. You really haven't gotten next to him, but I've got all kinds of things in his store. You who are stupid piss ants and reptiles and lower than the primates, you can make a whoopee if you want. But your whoopee makes me sicky. And so you can make your whoopee while I do something that's far more significant. I got me some big plans. Both here, there, and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Got lots of plans.
Tell us, right quick, one line, what do you think should be done with your relative?
I'd like to kill my so-called brother and Bill Ahrens for the crap that both of them have caused over these years since they've left.
I don't want to know it. It's funny. I like it. But go ahead.
I think that I should take a knife and cut Mr. Tupper all up real good. And
good.
And then make him look like, you know, cut him up and then put poison in him and invite all my relatives over there and have them eat him and then I'll die.
You've been talking to Reb, that's what you've been doing.
My mom is a damn fool. I hope I knock the fucking shit out of you.
I'm glad I put my life on the line to save you. Say, my mom was a goddamn fool. I had to beat the fucking shit out of it.
I dare come out because I'll be the one that's I'm a shotter.
Good. My mom was a goddamn fool.
But don't ever say hate is your enemy. Love has practically caused me to just get you destroyed. If I had hated a little more, just a little more, we would have had a little less trouble. Because I look at my faults analytically. Sure, you got to love principle. But don't say, hate is my enemy. What did it say? What's that words? Hate is my enemy. I got to fight it day and night. And what else does the other is the line? Love is the only weapon. Shit. Bullshit. Martin Luther King died with love. Kennedy died talking about something you couldn't even understand, some kind of generalized love, and he never even backed it up. He shut down. Bullshit. Love is the only weapon with which I got to fight. I got a hell of a lot of weapons to fight. I got my claws. I got cutlasses. I got guns. I got dynamite. I got a hell of a lot to fight. I'll fight. I'll fight. I will fight. I will fight. I will fight. I will fight.
Thank you. let them hear it in the night. You. Let the night roar with it. They're out there. They're out there. They're listening. Let the night roar with it. Let the night roar, because they can hear us. They know we mean it. We'll kill them if they come.
Now make your sound move. If by any chance you would make a mistake to try to come in and take any one of us, we will not let you. You will die. You will have to take anybody over all of our dead bodies. How do you feel about it? You may die tonight.
Dad, from 68 to 69, the captain sent me to Vietnam to fight a war that I didn't know anything about. I had no principle to die in that war. You have saved my life so many times, Dad. Now I don't have no life of my own. I'm living on your time. I would die for you right now, Dad. I'm willing to face the front line with you right now. Thank you, Dad.
Since I've been here, all I've seen is the beauty of socialism, and I feel that my life is fulfilled, and if death comes, it's no big deal to me, because I've already lived my life just being here with the family. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you. We were trying to light candles and not push buttons.
I'm prepared to die for this family if I have to for freedom. Thank you, Dad.
I'm also prepared to die after 44 years of not being able to contribute anything to this life or finding any point or reason for it at all. And not being well known at all, there sure would be no glory in it. But for the children here, for the freedom, as long as there's one remains on this earth that isn't free, none of us are free. And I'm prepared to give my life if need be.
Would you take your daughter's life if it came to it?
No, I'd give mine in the place of hers.
Would you like her to be taken by the fascists then?
And hold it now, Hugh. I've got on a sensitive point, and that maybe you think about it. They brought up a sensitive question, and you may not understand the gravity of that question, but all of our children have faced this. We went through white nights, so they'll not be hurt by it. We haven't had any child causing us any difficulties by facing this kind of thought.
Jerry, the question would be, if the fascists were coming up the road right now, and we were going to lay down our lives and fight for it, you say you would give your life for your child's, but would you leave it for the fascists to have? What would you do in that case?
If it came to that, I would have to take her life.
Fine. You understand that? You understand that? Will you? But she's so old, she'd fight. How old is your child?
11.
Now she passed the age. We fight at 11. It's under that that we consider that. She would take up a cutlass and fight till she was dead. Unless it came to an overwhelming invasion, then we would gently put them to sleep, which we have, where they never know what hit them. We are already prepared for that. A people who are really loving and a father who's genuinely compassionate is prepared for all such emergencies. But you don't do that as long as there's alternatives in which you can make a mark
You don't do that unless there's alternatives. All alternatives are closed for you to make a mark against fascism.
Who in the hell wouldn't be ready for a white knight? Don't I'd like for one to come and not pass.
Tell you one thing, if you're counting on me letting you out, forget it.
Every day I've lived since I was a child, when a little dog died, I wanted to commit suicide. But I had still some little dogs and cats alive that had me alone to take care of them. But at that age, that's all that kept me through. Then a little bit later, my mom needed me, and some poor soul down the road needed me that was poor and minority, been treated badly. And then come along the blacks in the community that I always was their champion. It's always been that way. Somebody needed me. So you can do what you have to do, because I stay alive and do all this thinking, and I am bored, and I am disgusted, and I am sick with people who do so little with socialism when they have such a good example to follow.
Comrade, you hear? Don't say brother, say comrade. How many will say comrade now?
Comrade.
So if 5% of us say comrade, at least you'll know we got some camaraderie here. Everybody say comrade. Everything you can see, please use your mind to straighten this up and clean it up. All during that time, say comrade Jim, comrade Marcelin too, comrade Marcelin. What? All the displays up, yeah, you bet you. All the Soviet pictures, Lenin and you got, what's his name, that other old fool.
In 1981, everything will have changed. You will see.
For the first time, hundreds of guests have come through here in the name of socialism. Hundreds of guests, but for the first time, and now I give you without further ado, the consular and the chief of the press department of the embassy of the USSR of Guyana, so proudly, Fyodor Timofeyev. Will you come forward? He is deserving of your welcome and your praise.
Здравствуйте, добрый вечер, дорогие товарищи. First of all, on behalf of the Embassy of the USSR, I'd like to send to you my deepest and our deepest and the most sincere greeting to the people of the first socialist and communist community of the United States of America, in Guyana and in the world.
This gentleman said something that I cannot quote here. It gave me more peace than ever before. I know after I heard his words, I didn't need to worry about my family, Jonestown, anymore. I love you very much. Think now as you go down the path, please, on healings, blessings, protections. Father cares. You can tell in his voice he cares. He cares, and he'll be with you all the way. Good night, my darlings. Good night, comrade. Good night, comrade. Good night, good night, comrade. Good night, comrade. Good night, comrade. Good night, comrade. Thank you.
Yes, I think we all should die tonight if it's our turn. And I'm willing, Father, to stand with you all the way, just like I always have told you 3 years ago. Everything seems and will always be the same. I'm not changing.
You don't need to say. You don't need to say no more. I remember your fight.
I love you, Father.
I know you do.
I know some of my people that others go. I felt like they're gonna hate you. When they hate you, they hate me. I tell you the truth. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. You're the only father I have. You're the only family I have. I give up my brother.
I remember you fighting.
To you.
I remember when you sang, I never heard him. Sing it for us right now.
I'm gonna sing it for you. I never heard a man speak like this man before.
Come on, sing. Never heard a man speak like this man before. The days of my life ever since I've been born. Never heard a man like this
man before.
Now make your sound move. If we're all once there, you know, we got the same situation we got here. We can white knight one place as another. Right on.
Much love, and now I see a lot of studying now in the library.
Attention. Tonight at 7:45
is the day. President Sadat is stopping over in Paris on his way to Washington.
Then testing will take place
in Lusaka. African leaders are meeting about Rhodesia.
Followed by agricultural session and a catharsis.
Now, you go ahead and study your Russian. I'm going to give some news, but you can study on the blackboard or to play just after.
Okay. What was the basic premise of Mao? Mao Tse-tung said there's only one way a revolution can come. Do you know, Millie? Help, hold it now.
Well, the only way I think you can keep it by being peace and being alma.
Oh, shit, I being at peace. Mao Tse-tung said that?
No.
He's the head of China. He's the head of the revolution of China. He marched 6,000 people on the line. He's been on a long march.
I had my mind on something there.
Okay, then what did he say? There's only one way you can bring about a revolution for the
people.
Only way you can
bring it on that by killing.
Well, what is? That's okay. I'm going to let you pass it. But what did he say? He had a nice little phrase that everybody should know. Change only comes... Look, all seniors got it. Change comes through...
Through by a barrel of guns.
That's right, senior. And that's good. Because you, by rights, would have every reason to forget something. Change must come through the barrel of a gun, said Mao Zedong. This place would be a paradise tomorrow if every department had a supervisor with a submachine gun. There'd be no shit here. What do you call this place?
Call it Jonestown.
That's right, say we. Good. You never say family. Just say. I'm asking you, what about the weather, dear? How's the weather out here at Jonestown? I want to know about how the weather is.
The weather is beautiful out here.
It is. What kind of weather you got? I don't know. Beautiful. What the hell's beautiful mean? I'm going to talk like a reporter could talk.
The weather is beautiful.
You won't say that. What do you mean, ma'am? What do you mean, madam, the weather's beautiful? What's that mean?
It's always nice and warm. It's never cold.
Well, that's fair. You see, you can say that. What are your political beliefs?
I don't have no beliefs.
You don't have any beliefs at all? You have no beliefs at all, woman? What do you believe in?
In my own beliefs.
What are your beliefs?
Socialist? No.
No, I don't want somebody to say the word because you can't even say it without mispronouncing it in the first place. Don't ever use a word unless you can say it. Socialism. I'm sick of this shit, but everybody ought to know how to say it. Socialism. But what are your religious beliefs, madam? Okay, ask her. You should avoid the reporters like a plague, honey, because you don't think well on your feet. You just say hi. Are some of you out there still with me? You never nod your head. You never smile. You don't do shit. Where are you?
Today, we are very privileged and honored to have with us Don Freed. He's written books about the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy and Senator Robert Kennedy. He's currently involved in an investigation of the truth behind the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, the great civil rights leader. You have seen the People's Temple community in Jonestown. Could you give us some of your reflections and observations of its significance?
This could not be called a utopia, it seems to me. It really is a sophisticated socialist, dialectical materialist experiment. And the dialectic between the people here, where they've come from in the United States, each one with their story, and then this sort of existential present as the jungle gives way to schools and dispensaries and agriculture and culture, I think no place in the world offers a microcosm of what we loosely call human nature.
I just want to close by telling you that this has been an absolutely rare experience. You know, to get on that train in Georgetown, it's going back to the 19th century. And then you come on into here, and you don't just come up to the 20th century, you're in the future all of a sudden. And so it's a big move. And either this is the future, or there won't be any.
That's so true. That's so true.
All right, how many witnesses are to him saying that he wanted to go back to the States?
Now, when he took Father literally, when Father was saying that these people that want to go back so bad, he said, well, after all the people get here, you can get your money and go back or swim back or anywhere you go. But he took Father literally that, he took that
literally. He can. By the time we get ready, all of our people get ready to go back, he can float back.
That's what you told him. And he took it.
I mean that seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not playing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I really want to get away from here, and by Christmas I will be gone.
That may be true. That may be true. By Christmas, do you want to be gone?
Yeah, well, if
by
I
Christmas, do you want to be gone? By Christmas, do you want to be gone?
I would ask you, could I go home to make a trip to see my people?
By Christmas, you'd like to be gone?
I would like to make a round trip ticket.
By Christmas, I'm asking you one question. You have listened here many times to what I said, and I do not intend now to repeat myself. I have established myself on this proposition unequivocally clear, and I have now moved from an administrative socialist office into the office of Savior. Do you want to be able to go home, what you call home, by Christmas?
No. I wouldn't intend it until after you people get your folk could try to go home. Until after you see you get all the folks over.
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living. Now, you find this humorous. I'm now in my office. I have the power to send you home by Christmas, but it's not on Transworld Airlines.
You just take anything and make a big thing out of it.
That's not a big thing. That's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. They may find good humor in your much badgerings. I do not. It's blasphemy to talk about going back when you have not been given any approval. When there's been no request or even any mandate made. Now, if I cease meditating for you, you won't need to go home. Do you want to go home?
No.
Well, then be seated and shut your mouth and don't be in my face anymore.
I am very emotionally disturbed with another traitor who has stolen our money. It only amounted to a few thousand dollars. But I am disturbed, and that's what caused my heart attack. Someone in the States, and I'll get every last damn one of them. I want to tell you, every last damn one of them will die. They will die. I declare unto you, I will not stop until every last one of them is dead, and I'm a long way from death. Even though I was 3 minutes dead, I'm a long way from dead.
The third time running, someone has tried to poison my food. We have the sediments. We're going to study them under the microscope. What kind of beast do we have in our midst?
Congressman Leo Ryan, reacting to constituent mail, took a fact-finding trip in November. Residents of his suburban San Francisco congressional district complained of family members being held against their will in Guyana at a farm colony run by a religious sect called the People's Temple, run by the Reverend Jim Jones.
And they've got a congressman they want to come in who's close to the member of the John Birch Society just to drop in, and my opinion is to tell him to stick it.
If they come in here by night, they are finished. Thank you. Much love.
Ryan's visit ended in tragedy, described by a reporter along on the trip, Ron Javers of the San Francisco Chronicle, and sound man Steve Sung of NBC.
Don Harris, my correspondent, told us, me, Bob Brown and me, to spread out, get ready. There's trouble coming. So we're taking pictures, okay? All of a sudden, they pull the tractor trailer all the way around. They all duck down and pull the gun out. High power rifle, basically, and start shooting.
It was like being in a war and you didn't have any guns.
Yeah.
They just approached us very quickly, came walking up with the guns, and started shooting people.
So everybody died. Bob Brown hit the deck instantly, right? So I hit right next to him because it's a mini cam, the cable connecting to Joe. They walking towards us. One shot hit Bob Brown. He screamed, ouch. And next thing I know, the guy came close and blew his brain off.
We were all lying on the ground, and I saw one young man with a very large rifle. It looked like the pictures from the Vietnamese War of someone administering the coup de grace.
I say, oh, next one would be me who get killed, right? Next thing I know, I have a tremendous explosion right next to my head, but I won't dare to move one single muscle, so they thought I'd probably dead.
When I saw these men getting it in the head, my option was either to stay down and hit the deck as I did first, or to run. And I ran into the bush, and I jumped into a swamp, and I got as deep in that swamp as I could get, and then I stayed there, and then I paralleled the airport and came back to the plane when I saw it was all over.
Congressman Ryan, NBC newsman Don Harris, NBC cameraman Robert Brown, Greg Robinson, a photographer for the San Francisco Examiner, and Patricia Parks, described as a member of the sect, were killed.
Oh, and Heaven's Gate called themselves a cult. Pikers. Oh, somehow a website just doesn't cut it for me. It's so cold and impersonal. At least have the courtesy to leave a freaking audio tape or something. Ah, but here, Seekers, I've got to warn you. The sound quality seriously drops, and it wasn't exactly a situation that afforded retakes, if you catch my drift. So here, for your delectation, with all of its mysterious, unexplained stops and starts, is the last cocktail hour of Reverend Jim Jones and his People's Temple here on Bob's Slacktime Funhouse on WREK Atlanta.
How very much I've tried my best to give you a good life. But in spite of all of that I've tried, a handful of our people, with their lives, have made our lives impossible. There's no way to detach ourselves from what happened today. Not only are we in a compound situation, not only are there those who have left and committed the betrayal of the century, some have stolen children from others and then pursuit right now to kill them because they stole their children. And we are sitting there waiting on a powder keg. I don't think this is what we want to do with our babies. I don't think that's what we have in mind to do with our babies. And except by the greatest of prophets, from time immemorial, no man takes my life from me, I lay my life down. So to sit here and wait over the catastrophe that's going to happen on an airplane, it's going to be a catastrophe. It almost happens here. almost like when the congressman is nearly killed here. But you can't steal people's children. You can't take all the people's children without expecting a violent reaction. And that's not so unfamiliar to us either. Even if we were Judeo-Christian, if we weren't communists, the world is bringing such violence and the violence would bring it by force. If we can't live in peace, then let's die in peace. We've been so betrayed. We've been so terribly betrayed. But we've tried, and this Jack Dean Martin said, I don't know where he's at right this moment, but Jack, he said, if this only worked one day, it was worthwhile. But what's going to happen here in a matter of a few minutes is that one of those people on that plane is going to shoot the pilot. I know that. I didn't plan it, but I know it's going to happen. They're going to shoot that pilot, and down comes that plane into the jungle. And we had better not have any of our children left when it's over, because they'll parachute in here on us. Well, it's just as plain as I know how to say, I've never lied to you. I never have lied to you. I know that's what's going to happen. That's what he intends to do. And he will do it. He'll do it. Fortunately, being so bewildered with many pressures on my brain, seeing all these people behave so treasonous, it was just too much for me to put together. But I now know what he's telling me, and it'll happen. If the plane gets in the air, even. So, my opinion is that we be kind to children and be kind to seniors and take the portion like we used to take in ancient Greece and step over quietly because we are not committing suicide. It's a revolutionary act. We can't go back. They won't leave us alone. They're now going back to tell more lies, which means more congressmen. And there's no way we can survive. Anybody? Anyone that has any dissenting opinion, please speak. Yes. You can have an opportunity, but if our children are left, we're going to have them butchered. We can make a strike, but we'll be striking against people that we don't want to strike against. And what we'd like to get people who cause this stuff, and some people here are prepared to know how to do that, when down and get Timothy Stone, but there's no plane. There's no plane. You can't catch a plane in time. Who's responsible for it? Who brought these people to us? He and Deanna Myrtle. The people in San Francisco will not be idle over this. They'll not take our death in vain, you know. Yes. Is it too late for Russia? His life's too late for Russia. They killed. They started to kill. That's why it makes it too late for Russia. Otherwise, I'd said, Russia, you bet your life. But it's too late. I can't control these people. They're out there. They're gone with the guns. And it's too late. And once we kill anybody, at least that's where I'm going to split my lot with you. If one of my people do something, it's me. And I say, I don't have to take the blame for this, but I don't live that way. They said, deliver up Ujjar, who tried to get the man back here. And Ujjar, whose wife, mother has been lying on him and lying on him and trying to break up this family, and they've all agreed to kill us by any means. I say, you think I'm going to deliver them, Ujjar? Not on your life. No. No, you're not going. I can't live that way. I cannot live that way. I've lived this for all, and I'll die for all. I've been living on hope for a long time, Christine, and I appreciate you. Always been a very good agitator. I like agitation because you have two sides of one issue, two sides of the question. What those people are going to get done, what they get through, will make our life worse than hell. To make the Russians not accept us. When they get through lying. They throw so many lies between there and that truck that we are done in as far as any other alternative.
So I said, let's make an ad-lib for this. That's what I said. I don't think nothing is impossible.
How are we
going
to do it? How are
you going to
airlift
the Russia? Well, I thought they said if we got in an emergency, they gave you a code to let them know.
No, Reggie, they gave us the code that they'd let us know of an issue, not us create an issue for them. They said if they saw the country coming down, they'd give us the code. We can check on them, see if it's on the code. We can check with Russia to see if they'll take us in immediately, otherwise we die. I don't know what else you say to these people. But to me, death is not a simple thing. It's living that cuts it. I have never seen anything like this before in my life. I've never seen people take the law in their own hands and provoke us and try to purposely agitate murder of children. There's no use, Christine. It's not worth living like this. It's not worth living like this.
I think that there were too few who left for 1,200 people to give them their lives for those people that left.
You know how many left?
20-odd.
That's a small 20-odd. 20-odd. But what's going to happen when they don't leave? I hope that they could leave, but what's going to happen when they don't leave?
You mean the people here?
Yeah, what's going to happen to us when they don't leave, when they get on the plane and the plane goes down?
I don't think
we'll go down. I wish I could tell you you're right, but I'm right. There's one man there who blames, and rightly so, Debbie Blakey for the murder of his mother. And he will stop that pilot by any means necessary. He'll do it. That plane will come out of the air. There's no way you fly planes out of pilots.
I wasn't speaking about that plane. I was speaking about the plane for us to go to Russia.
To Russia? You think Russia's going to want... No, they're going to... You think Russia's going to want us with all this stigma? We have some value, but now we don't have any value.
Well, I don't see it like that. I mean, I feel like that as long as there's life, there's hope. That's my thing.
Well, everybody dies. Someplace that hope runs out because everybody dies. I haven't seen anybody yet didn't die. And I like to choose my own kind of death for change. I'm tired of being tormented to hell. That's what I'm tired of. Tired of it. So many people's lives in my hands, and I certainly don't want your life in my hand. I'm going to tell you, Christine, without me, life has no meaning. I'm the best friend you'll ever have. And once I have to pay, I'm standing with you, Jara. I'm standing with those people. They're part of me. I can detach myself. My attorney says detach myself. No. I never detached myself from any of your troubles. I've always taken your troubles right on my shoulders. And I'm not going to change that now. It's too late. I've been running too long. I'm not going to change now. And the next time you'll get to go to Russia, the next time around. This is what I'm talking about now is in the dispensation of judgment. This is a revolutionary suicide council. I'm not talking about self-destruction. I'm talking about, but we have no other road. I will take your call, we will put it to the Russians, and I can tell you the answer now because I'm a prophet. Call the Russians and tell them to see if they'll take it.
I said I'm afraid to die.
I don't think you are.
But, I look at all the babies and I think they deserve to live.
I agree. You know? But also they deserve, what more they deserve peace.
We all came here for peace.
And have they had it?
No.
I tried to give it to you. I laid down my life practically. I practically died every day to give you peace. And you still not have any peace. You look better than I've seen you in a long while, but it's still not the kind of peace that I wanted to give you. A person of food continues to say that you're a winner when you lose. Win one, lose two. What? I didn't hear you, ma'am. You'll have to speak up. That's a sweet thought. Who said that?
because it's taken off. No plane is taken off. Suicide. They have done it. Stone has done it. Somebody, can they not talk to San Francisco? See, the Stone does not get by with this infamy. This infamy. He has done the thing he wanted to do. That was destroyed. When we destroy ourselves, we're defeated. We let them in the end to defeat us. Did you see I live to fight no more forever? Yes, I have. Did he not have some sense of pride and victory in that man? He would not subject himself to the will and whim of people who tell that they're going to come in whenever they please and push into our house, come when they please, take who they want to, talk to who they want to. This is not living. That's not living to me. That's not freedom. That's not the kind of freedom I sought.
But I think where they made their mistake is when they stopped the rest. If they had gone on, they would have made it. But they stopped the rest.
It's over, sister. It's over. We made that day. We made a beautiful day. And let's make it a beautiful day.
We win. We win when we go down. Tombstone has nobody else to hate. He has nobody else to hate. Then he'll destroy himself. I'm speaking here not as the administrator, I'm speaking as a prophet today. I wouldn't step in this street and talk so serious if I didn't know what I was talking about. And if anybody called back, the immense amount of damage is going to be done. But I cannot separate myself from the pain of my people. You can't either, Christine, if you stop and think about it. You can't separate yourself. We've walked too long together.
I know that, but I still think, as an individual, I have a right
to do, and I'm listening,
what I think, what I feel. And I think we all have a right to our own destiny as individuals.
Right.
And I think I have a right to choose mine, and everybody else has a right to choose theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not criticizing. I'm not saying. What's that? That's the day. That's what 20 people said today. We're alive.
I think I still have a right to my own opinion.
I'm not taking it from you.
Christine, you're only standing here because he was here in the first place. So I don't know what you're talking about, having an individual life. Your life has been extended to the day that you're standing there because of him.
Well, it's back there. She has much right to speak to anybody else, too. What'd you say, Ruby? You'll regret it this very day if you don't die. You'll regret it if you don't die. You don't die. You'll regret it.
So many people.
I saved them, but I made my example. I made my expression. I made my manifestation, and the world was ready, not ready for me. Paul said, as a man born out of due season, I've been born out of due season just like all we are, and the best testimony we can make is to leave this goddamn world.
I'm not talking to her. Will you let me talk?
You're talking.
Will you make her sit down and let me talk while I'm on the floor? Or let her talk?
How can you tell your leader what to do? Here he is. I'm listening to you. You asked me about Russia. I'm right now making a call to Russia. What more do you suggest? I'm listening to you. If Rusty gives me one slight bit of encouragement, I guess now I'm trusted him to go there and do that. All right, now everybody, hold it. We didn't come. Hold it. Much longer main game. Lay down your burdens. I'm going to lay down my burdens down by the riverside. So we lay them down here inside of Guyana. What's the difference? No man didn't take our life right now. He had taken it. But when they start parachuting out of the air, they'll shoot some of our innocent babies. I'm not lying. I don't want to this system. But they got to shoot me to get food to some of these people. I'm not letting them take your job. Can you let them take your job?
Don,
what's that?
You want to see Don, the little
since more women than other children knew?
John,
is that
John,
what you're saying?
If you're acting, you think I put John's life above others? If I put John's life above others, I wouldn't be standing with his jaw. I'd send John out and go out on the driveway tonight.
Because he's young,
I know, but he's no different to me than any of these children here. He's just one of my children. I don't prefer one above another. I don't prefer him above your jaw. I can't do that. I can't separate myself from your actions or his actions. If you've done something wrong, I'd stand with you. If they wanted to come and get you, they'd have to take me.
We're all ready to go. If you tell us we have to give our lives now, we're ready. I'm going to get all the rest of the brothers with me.
For months I tried to keep this thing from happening, but I now see it's the will of sovereign being that this happened to us. And we lay down our lives in protest against what's being done. And we lay down our lives to protest in what's being done. The criminality of people, the cruelty of people, who walked out of here today? You know who walked out? Mostly white people. Mostly white people walk. I'm so grateful for the ones that didn't, those who knew who they are. There's no point. There's no point to this. We are born before our time. They won't accept us. And I don't think we should sit here and take any more time for our children to be endangered. But if they come after our children and we give them our children, then our children will suffer forever. I have no quarrel with you coming up. I like you. I personally like you very much.
People get hostile when you try to...
Oh, well, some people do. But then you just some people do. Put it that way. I'm not hostile. Yeah, to be honest, if you stayed, if you'd have wanted to run, you'd have run with them, because anybody could have run today, they would have wanted to. I know you're not a runner. And your life is precious to me. It's as precious as John's. And I do with guilt and justice and judgment. I've waited against all evidence.
That's all
what comes
thing.
Now, folks, what comes now?
Stay peace.
What comes? Don't let this. Just take dry on down to the East House.
Everybody be quiet, please.
So you've got some respect for our lives.
Let me sit down.
I tried so very, very hard. I'm trying over here to see what can happen to our fans. Who is it? Get Dwyer out of here before something happens to him. Dwyer? I'm not talking about your jaw. I said Dwyer. Ain't nobody gonna take your jaw. I'm not letting them take your jaw. Get in, folks. It's too easy. It's too easy. Yes, my love.
At one time, I felt just like Christian felt. But after today, I don't feel anything because the biggest majority of people that live here were white. And I know it really hurt my heart.
Broke your heart, didn't it?
It broke my heart to think that all of these years that these white people have been with us, and they're not a part of us. So we might as well end it now, because I don't see...
So, the congressman is in murder.
What a legacy. Well, the Red Brigade's the only ones that ever made any sense anyway. They invaded our privacy. They came into our home. They followed us 6,000 miles away. The Red Brigade showed them justice. The congressman's dead.
please get us some medication. It's simple. It's simple. There's no convulsions with it. It's just simple. Just please get it. Before it's too late, the GDF will be here. I tell you, get moving. Get moving. Get moving. Don't be afraid to die. You'll see if these people land out here, they'll torture some of our children here. They'll torture our people. They'll torture our seniors. We cannot have this. Are you going to separate yourself from whoever shot the congressman? I don't know who shot him. The speaker peeped and those had a right to go and they had a right to... How many are dead? Oh, God almighty, God almighty. Hmm? Patty Parks is dead?
In a safe place to write about the goodness of
England. I don't know how in the world ever write about us. It's just too late. It's too late. The Congress is dead. The Congress is dead. Many of our traitors are dead. They're all laying out. They're dead. Hmm? I didn't, but my people did. My people did. They're my people. And they've been provoked too much. They've been provoked too much. What's happened here has been too, but this has been an act of provocation.
If there's any way possible to have them to give Ted something to take him, I'm satisfied, okay?
Okay.
I said, if there's any way we could do to have them to give Ted something so he won't have to let him go through, okay? And I'm satisfied.
That's fine. Yes.
I appreciate you for everything. You're the only, and I appreciate you.
Please, can we hasten? Can we hasten with that medication? You don't know what you've done. I tried. If they saw it happen and ran in the bush and dropped the machine gun, time in my life. But there'll be more. You gonna get the medication here? You got to move. Marshal, we got 40 minutes.
You have to move, and the people that are standing there in the aisle go stay in the radio room yard. So everybody get behind the table and back this way, okay? There's nothing to worry about. Everybody keep calm and try to keep your children calm. And the older children, they help love the little children and reassure them. I'm crying from pain. It's just a little bitter tasting, but they're not crying out of any pain. Aaron McGowan, can I please see you back?
I used to do it before I came here. So let me tell you about it. It might make a lot of you feel a little more comfortable. Sit down and be quiet, please. One of the things I used to do, I used to be a therapist. And the kind of therapy that I did had to do with reincarnation and past life situations. And every time anybody had the experience of going into a past life, I was fortunate enough through Father to be able to let them experience it all the way through their death, so to speak. And everybody was so happy when they made that step to the other side.
When you step to the door, there's nothing you can do but step that way. It's the only way to step. The choice is not ours now. It's out of our hands.
If you have a body that's been crippled, suddenly you have the kind of body that you want.
A little rest.
It feels good. You've never felt so good, family, I tell you. You've never felt so good is how that feels.
And I do hope that those attorneys will stay where they belong and don't come up here.
What is it? What is it? Did what? Hard, it's hard. Only at first. Only at first is it hard. It's hard only at first. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks to, living is much, much more difficult. Raising up every morning and not knowing what's going to be the night's bringing. It's much more difficult. It's much more difficult.
I just want to say something to everyone that I see that is standing around and crying. This is nothing to cry about. This is something we could all rejoice about. We could be happy about this. They always told us that we could cry when you're coming into this world. But when we're living and we're living peaceful, I think we should be happy about this. I was just thinking about Jim Jones. He just has suffered and suffered and suffered. We have the honor of God, and he don't even have a chance to enjoy his death here. And I want to say one more thing. That's the one thing I want to say. There's two that's gone. Because he was the only one that stood up for me when I needed him. And thank you, Dad. I'm glad you're my brothers and sisters. I'm glad to be here. Okay.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. To have to watch you every day die slowly, and from the time you're a child to the time you get gray, you're dying. Dishonest, and I'm sure that they'll pay for it. They'll pay for it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they'll pay for this. They brought this upon us, and they'll pay for that. I leave that destiny to them. Wants to go with a child has a right to go with a child. I think it's humane. I want to see you go though. They can take me and do with me whatever they want to do. I want to see you go. I don't want to see you go through this hell no more. No more, no more, no more. We're trying. If everybody will relax. The best thing you do to relax and you will have no problem. You'll have no problem with the thing if you just relax. Over here a great deal because of Jim Jones. And the way the children are laying there now, I'd rather see them laid like that than to see them have to die like the Jews did, which was pitiful anyhow. And I'd just like to thank Dad for giving us life and also death. And I appreciate the fact the way our children are going. Because, like Brad said, when they come in, what they're going to do to our children, they're going to massacre our children. And also, the ones that they take captured, they're going to just let them grow up and be
dummies like they want them to be, and not grow up to be officials like the one and only Jim Jones. So I'd like to thank Dad for the opportunity to let Jonestown be not what it could be, but what Jonestown is. Thank you, Dad.
It's not to be feared. It is not to be feared. It's a friend. It's a friend. You're sitting there. Show your love for one another. Let's get calm. God, we have nothing we can do. We can't separate ourselves from our own people. For 20 years laying in some old rotten nursing home. Taking us through all these anguish years. They took us and put us in chains, and that's nothing. There's no comparison to that, to this. They robbed us of our land, and they've taken us and driven us, and we tried to find ourselves. We tried to find a new beginning, but it's too late. You can't separate yourself from your brother and your sister. No way I'm going to do it. I refuse. I don't know who fired the shot. I don't know who killed the congressman. But as far as I'm concerned, I killed him. You understand what I'm saying? I killed him. He had no business coming. I told him not to come. Adults, I call on you to stop this nonsense.
I call on you to quit exciting your children when all they're doing is going to quiet words. I call on you to stop this now, if you have any respect at all. Are we black, proud, and socialist, or what are we? Now stop this nonsense. Don't carry this on anymore. You're exciting your children. No, no sorrow that it's all over. I'm glad it's over. Hurry, hurry, my children, hurry. All I say, let's not fall into the hands of the enemy. Hurry, my children. Hurry. The seniors out here that I'm concerned about, hurry. I don't want to leave my seniors to this mess. Quickly, 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 quickly. Annoying you. No more pain, Al. No more pain, I said, Al. No more pain. Jim Cobb is laying on the airfield bed at this moment. Remember, Oliver woman said she'd come over and kill me if her son wouldn't stop her. These are the people the peddlers of hate. All we're doing is laying down our life. We're not letting them take our life. We're laying down our life. We're taking their lives. We just want peace.
All I'd like to say is that my so-called parents are filled with so much hate.
Stop this.
And treachery. I think you people out here should think about how your relatives were and be glad about that the children are being laid to rest. And all I'd like to say is that I thank Dad for making me strong to stand with it all and make me ready for it.
All they do is all they're taking a drink to take to go to sleep. That's what death is, sleep. Whatever, I'm tired of it all.
Loving thing you could have ever done, the most loving thing all of us could have done, and it's been a pleasure walking with all of you in this revolutionary struggle. No other way I was ever going to give my life for socialism, communism, and thank Dad very, very much. But that Dad's love and mercy and goodness and kindness and bring us to this land of freedom, his love. His mother was the advance guard to socialism. And his love and his mercy should go on forever, onto the fullness of
time. Where's the vat? Where's the vat with the green sea?
Go on forever, onto the fullness of time. And thank you, Dad.
The vat with the green sea in, please. Stay here so the adults can begin. If you don't fail to follow my advice, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. We do it and that they do it. Just trust you. You have to step across. We used to sing this world's not our home, but it sure isn't. We were saying it sure wasn't. We then want to tell him all he's doing, if they will tell him, assure these children, and some people assure these children of the relaxation of stepping over to the next plane. We set an example for others. We set 1,000 people who say we don't like the way the world is. Take our life from us. We laid it down. We got tired. We didn't commit suicide. We committed an act of revolutionary suicide protesting the conditions of an inhumane world.
Thank you.
and that, Seekers, was all there was.
The day after the shootings, the government of Guyana discovered that people at the camp at Jonestown had committed suicide or had been murdered.
The people, when they committed suicide, stood in nice, neat little circles, children in front of them, and as they died, they folded into the interior of the circle, and there were mounds of people. And as we pulled off the surface cover, we found more and more people under the mounds. Apparently, it appeared as though there were children in front of the parents as they went over. Then, of course, the parents were on top of them. Well, everybody's rough. How many, sir? There were 910 evacuated from this location.
The odor of rotting human flesh was in evidence as plane load after plane load of bodies from the mass suicide murder incident in Jonestown, Guyana, were unloaded here at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. The remains of more than 900 men, women, and children were flown here aboard Air Force C-141 jet transports. At the base mortuary, one of the largest on the East Coast, FBI fingerprint experts tried to positively identify all of the bodies, but the task was very difficult because so many of the corpses were in such an advanced state of decomposition from lying in the tropical heat of a South American jungle for up to a week.
Jim Jones wound up not, as you would expect, with a gut full of Flavor-Aid and cyanide, but with a bullet to the left temple. Funny thing, I don't recall him being a southpaw. Oh, but the nagging details of 1978 just never did get resolved for me.
Attorney Mark Lane, who was on Congressman Ryan's trip and who was in Jonestown when the death ritual began, told that bizarre tale.
Two men with weapons came down, and I don't know what their orders were, but they told me that we are all going to die now. And they were smiling. When these two men told us we're all going to die, I tried to persuade them not to, and they were clear that everyone was going to die. I said, well, at least Mr. Gary and I will be here to write the story of what happened in Jonestown. And he looked back, and he stopped, and he thought about that, and he said, okay, and he hugged me, and he hugged Gary. And as they left, I said, how do I get out of here, Poncho? And he said, you can take a plane when it's all over. I said, I don't have a plane. I don't know when it'll be all over. How do I walk out? And he said, over the hill into the bush. And so he spent 24 hours in the bush.
What the hell was JFK conspiracy nut Mark Lane doing there? Or could it have been Mark Laner? And my own personal nagging hypothesis. Was there somehow a connection between Jonestown and the deep interior jungle empire of Daniel Keith Ludwig, the mysterious and scary as hell slave-owning Illuminati-grade mega-billionaire recluse who once owned so much of the Amazon Basin's rainforest that it could effectively be said that he owned a large percentage of the world's freaking oxygen supply? Nobody ever thought of looking into that. Well... But no matter how hysterical I get, Seekers, we're just left with the nagging questions. Oh, and once again, I'd like to thank St. Byron Werner of the Little Rock, Arkansas Clinch, who provided us with the fodder for tonight's show. Oh, and even though Jonestown jokes usually have punchlines that are just too damn long, I'll leave you with one of the rare ones. You know, the day after it all went down, Idi Amin had 913 people killed in Uganda. He was just trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, God, I can't even keep up with my Joneses. Good luck keeping up with yours. Good night, Seekers.
And be careful. Santa Claus is checking his list, going over twice, seeing who's naughty and who's nice.